This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with A Second Opinion. Not much non-essential work was done in hospitals or healthcare settings this week. Most workers were consumed with the Senate's ever-evolving debate over healthcare legislation that ended with the defeat of the skinny, or more appropriately, the anorexic, healthcare bill. But that wasn't all that consumed our attention. Every meeting seemed to begin with a discussion of the USC Medical School dean, who was associated with drug use, prostitution, and criminals. There was discussion about the school's cover-up of the dean's behavior, its tolerance of his behavior, and about why nobody did anything about it. Discussions quickly turned to our own failings to police ourselves. In meetings and on blogs, my colleagues and I recalled professionals we had worked with whose behavior we had tolerated or made excuses for, which signaled a serious underlying problem that needed to be addressed. Dr. Chris Cimino is a medical school professor and a neurologist who feels that doctors are unique.
By their nature and by the selection process, they care and want to help people and not wanting to get them in trouble and want to think the best of them and be optimistic.
Optimism is one thing, but faculty recounted problems related to substance abuse, to dysfunctional personalities, and to observing colleagues with increasing dementia. In all cases, people regretted that they had not reported the problem. Of course, the problem is worse when the person is high up in the hierarchy or in a position of power, such as the USC dean. But as Dr. Cimino reminded me, all physicians are in power, at least relative to their patients and their students. But we all want to believe that things will change.
There is this inherent belief in people you like and work with that, you know, maybe it's something else. And then once you've made that, it becomes a slippery slope. So even when it starts to get more and more outrageous, it becomes difficult to then reverse your original decision.
But our inactions send messages to others. You know, in medical education, we teach two curricula. There's the formal medical school curriculum that is articulated and it's tested. So in classes, we teach our trainees that they have a duty to our patients and to society to speak up when we see something wrong. But then there's also what we call the hidden curriculum. That's what junior doctors learn from observing the behaviors, actions, and decisions of those around them. The hidden curriculum is very powerful. It's what causes behaviors and actions to be passed from generation to generation. Each time an unprofessional behavior is tolerated or ignored, the message being sent to those observing is that this is how the medical profession should act. USC has some soul-searching and culture-changing to do, but we all have lessons to learn from that one bad apple. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with A Second Opinion.